Good evening, everybody. I call this meeting to order. This is the Yamhill County Board of Commissioners meeting for November 16th, 6 p.m. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnon?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coons?
Here.
Everybody's present. So let's have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. How about a motion for the minutes of the November 6th meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for the minutes to be approved for the November 6th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. It's time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak at the mic, step up to the mic and you have 3 minutes. Seeing nobody raising their hand or stepping up, we'll move on. We have NCMC presentation presenter. Go ahead, step up.
Good evening. I'm Jennifer Wixon from North Central Michigan College. I'm the Early Childhood Education Program Coordinator and Professor. I'm joined this evening with Dr. Finley here, Tom Zeidel, our VP of Finance, and Dr. Steven Strom, our VP of Academic Affairs. So tonight I'm going to talk with you about our North Central Michigan College Child Care Initiative. I want to start off, though, before I get into sharing the background of this initiative with you, to respond to a question that we often get, and that is why North Central Michigan College, why is a college invested in looking at trying to create a viable and sustainable child care system here in Emmett County? I think the answer to that question is North Central Michigan College serves as a community convener, very strategically pulling folks together to address problems that need some attention within the community. We also have the expertise available at the college, including myself, with a long history of working in child care and early childhood education here in Emmett County. We have the resources available to us, and we also are a primary stakeholder. We have a strong early childhood education program that awards both a Child Development Associate Workforce Credential, an Associate of Arts for our students who are transferring, and an Associate of Applied Sciences for our students who are interested in entering the field of child care right upon graduation. So we're really invested in wanting to build workforce. We also have some key beliefs that I want to share with you around child care. The first being that we believe child care is necessary to support the effective functioning and growth of our local economy. And that means we really need to work on creating that strong foundation of workforce so that we are ensuring those folks are staying in the field by making a living wage. That's what I believe is the primary way we will sustain the system. The second belief is that a sustainable and viable child care system requires careful and intentional planning. We certainly could come up with ideas and just right away put them out there, but I'm a strong believer that we can't make broad systems change if we can't demonstrate that it will work on a small scale. So we want to develop a prototype and pilot some concepts and ensure success before we roll it out throughout the community. Finally, a quality child care system requires engagement of all stakeholders, parents, providers, employers, and government. And engagement needs to be complemented with a system of support. So what is the Child Care Initiative? Tatum, if you'll click on that first image. Let me tell you a little bit about how we got here. In 2022, we started off with what we refer to as child care conversations. We hosted 6 virtual meetings where we invited both traditional and non-traditional stakeholders. Those traditional stakeholders are folks like myself, people working in leadership in early care and education. But the non-traditional stakeholders are employers in particular, folks who didn't realize how important child care was for them to be able to recruit and retain employees. Also, local government officials who didn't realize the role they play in helping with policies. So those stakeholders through those meetings came up with an array of ideas, things that they thought would really help support building quality of child care in our community, accessibility, where is it in our community, the capacity, how much do we have, how much do we need, the affordability, and again, most importantly, that key gear in the system, the workforce. The arrow, please. Next, and click on that image, in 2023, we wanted to get a better sense of what the local landscape of child care was here in Emmett County before we made decisions about that array of ideas that those stakeholders had. And so we conducted some research and collected data from 132 employers in Emmett County through a survey. We surveyed 271 families in Emmett County, and we also did some focus groups to get a better understanding and complement the data we gathered through our surveys, and 31 child care professionals, specifically talking about wages and their movement through the field. So the arrow, please. Our main takeaway is, of course, the results were emphasizing how multifaceted this child care system is, but most importantly, a strong willingness from stakeholders, employers in particular, to want to work together to help us find a solution. And again, when I say solution, I'm talking about one that's going to stand the test of time. I'm coming up on my 30th year of working in early care and education in Emmett County. I started off as the director of the Holy Childhood Community Daycare and Preschool in Harbor Springs, and we were addressing these very same issues back then. Arrow, please. And here we are today. Click on that little icon of our child care initiative. We are moving into phase 2 of our child care initiative, and this is where we want to begin to implement some of the innovations, some of those ideas that we gathered from Child Care Initiative, some of the ideas that are supported through the data that we gathered. And we want to focus first on looking at a true cost modeling that involves 3 innovations, a living wage salary scale and defined career pathway, employer engagement strategies, and a proof of concept, creating a site where we pilot these things. Before I move into detail, let's first define the true cost. So click on the arrow, please, Tatum, and I think I'm done with you. I appreciate your help. So what do we mean by true cost? Well, true cost is when we look at this child care system, which was very labor intensive, if we are actually paying a living wage and offering benefits. Right now, the average child care worker in Emmett County makes less than $14 an hour and doesn't have benefits, and we see a high frequency of turnover at about 60% on a monthly basis in the child care programs. But it also means that we are providing quality programming and professional development. Now, moving into, especially offering a living wage, means the rates will go up dramatically. So our research wants to figure out strategies for engaging employers to help offset those costs, because employers are one of the primary stakeholders in the system. So we'll do this in the 3 ways I've mentioned, creating a template of a living wage salary scale and a defined career pathway, because we found, of course, making low wages makes people move in and out of the field, but also not clearly understanding where they fall on that career pathway definitely impedes their ability to stay in the system. For example, I have a student who's about to graduate who works as an assistant in a childcare program. She'll get her associate's degree, and she doesn't really know if that's going to impact her rate of pay. She doesn't know if it's going to offer her any more opportunities. And that lack of surety leads somebody to think of leaving the field. We want to pilot employer engagement strategies and provide technical assistance. So as I mentioned, we have a lot of employers who are really interested in better understanding how they can help, but they just don't really know. They need our expertise to support them with that. So we have a subcommittee of HR specialists and employers who will be working together with us. There are a variety of ways in which we can engage employers. We could look at co-op models. We could look at grant models. We could look at benefit structures. But again, we don't want to just jump into something without demonstrating it on a small scale. And then the proof of concept will be creating a small-scale childcare program where we can begin to implement and demonstrate how this will work or not work. And if it doesn't work, what will be our next steps in coming up with a solution. So we're well poised here at the college to be able to take this step that can be kind of a challenging step for just a program in our community to do, to move up to a true cost model and try and figure out how to start charging accordingly. So this is a great opportunity for us to make a pretty significant change in our community as it relates to childcare. We estimate the cost for the first year of these true cost innovations to be around $900,000. Of course, we have North Central Michigan College as being a strong supporter and contributor to this effort. We also received a pretty substantial federal grant from the Department of Education called C-Campus, which stands for Childcare Access Means Parents in Schools. And that's going to help us fund that proof of concept. We also have a two-year funding commitment from the Petoskey-Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation. And this year, the Leadership Little Traverse class has selected the Child Care Initiative as their fundraising initiative. So they'll be working with us specifically on the salary scale and defined career pathway and fundraising for that component. And we'd like to invite Emmett County to also become partners in this funding by a request of $50,000 for us to focus on those employer engagement strategies. I don't want to end this without pointing out to you that we have an amazing web page dedicated to our child care initiative. You have this QR code and URL where you can see the detailed reports. We have our child care initiative phase one report. We also had another research project funded through the Early Childhood Investment Corporation to look at the access that our child care providers here in Emmett County had to some of the Caring for Michigan Futures funding, how accessible was that funding to them, what kind of impact may it have had. And I do want to point out that you'll all be receiving our most recent edition of Aspire magazine, where you can read more about a child care provider who's one of our graduates who opened up a program just as those Caring for Michigan Futures funds had come out. So it's a great read. Also highlights some of our phase two work with Child Care Initiative. So let me close with any questions.
How many child care providers are there in Emmett County?
We currently have 12 child care providers who offer infant, toddler, preschool, and some school age care full day, 5 days a week. If you were to go on the website to see how many licensed programs there were in Emmett County, you'd see 31, but that includes preschool programs that may be Head Start classrooms or GSRP classrooms, which we don't really define as child care that supports folks being active in the workforce.
12 in the county.
Yes.
Is there any other studies like this that have been done? I mean, this looks pretty promising.
Yes, actually, following up some of our work, the state had commissioned a study, a fiscal analysis as to what the true cost would be for all of the services that are provided in the state for early care and education. So it looked at child care, but it also looked at preschool, it looked at home visiting programs, and I can get that to you. They also just finished balancing the scale study and did a statewide study as to the importance of living wage and what kind of impact that would have.
So would there be any fees or charges for parents in this program? Or are you looking at something that's self-funded or that's funded?
The proof of concept?
Yes.
Well, that will depend on the type of engagement strategies employers look to participate in. But we will also be providing spots for some of our students, and that comes through that federal grant as well. But the capacity will be increasing capacity by about 40 more additional spots. But again, the intention is really for us to demonstrate how employers can start supporting community-wide child care programs once we have provided the structure and the technical assistance necessary for their success.
Have you looked for templates from other communities, other states?
There aren't many, but Vail Valley Foundation in Colorado is kind of doing some of the same work we are, trying to create an employer engagement collaboration. And so we are staying in contact with them, just kind of seeing how they're going. We are moving a little bit faster.
I was an educator myself. Rarely does someone come with a brand new wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to reinvent a wheel. There are people, if you think you're doing something original, maybe you are, maybe not as much as you think you are, mm-hmm. and there's probably templates or other people have done it before to look at, you know, to mm-hmm. save some efforts.
Well, we have done a lot of research on it, and we are definitely inventing a type of wheel. And again, it goes back to why it's placed so well at a college. Again, because we are poised, we're in a better position to be able to demonstrate this, to get the funding to create that model for it. So it is quite innovative.
If it is so unique, then patent it.
Yeah, we might do that.
And then sell it to other communities. Yeah.
More importantly, we do hope that all of our hypotheses are correct, and that we will scale this out so that additional communities in our region are able to adopt this.
So how much are you receiving in federal funds?
It's a $490,000 grant.
So, Jennifer, I appreciate your work in this area. It's one more piece of the puzzle to bring the workforce back to Emmett County or to hold them here, either one. So, yes, I really appreciate the work that you guys are doing and bringing us all together on that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Dr. Finley, did you have any comments you wanted to make?
Yeah. If I could quickly. Thank you, Jennifer. That was a great presentation. I want to try to put this in context and share some important information about the college. We're really, really excited about this initiative. But to kind of a broad overview to introduce you to North Central, if you don't know us well, founded in 1958, so 65 years old. In that time, we've had over 11,000 graduates and another 40,000 who've taken one or more class at the institution. An economic impact study in 2019 demonstrated that our students, faculty, staff, and alumni have a $75 million per year impact in northern Michigan. Tuition at the college, we work hard and are fortunate to have three revenue streams. Tuition is roughly one quarter of that of a public university and one eighth or even one tenth of a private institution, and we offer significant financial aid. We work really hard to enable higher education for learners of all ages. So I'm pleased to share that enrollment, and we measure that in credit hours, was up in winter of 23, about 8.5%. That was the most growth in all community colleges in the state. This past fall, we started in September, that was up another 1%. And so you can ask about headcount, right? We have a few more students in winter than we do in the fall, 1660 last winter, so that would be winter of 23, and 1554 this fall. Of those students, roughly 60% are women, 40% are men, 70% are part-time, 30% are full-time, And there's been some real innovation in higher education in the last decade or so. Approximately 45% of our students are dual enrolled. That means the classes they're taking at the college count toward high school credit and vice versa, right? It's the entryway, the pathway into college. Of that 45%, roughly 15% or one-third are in our early college program. So we have partnerships with Petoskey, Gaylord, Boyne City, and are looking to grow that. Students stick around for year 13, paid by the state, and can earn an associate degree during that time. So it's a great opportunity. We offer 16 transfer programs, right? Coursework that you'll take to move on to a four-year institution, 45 occupational programs that will get you directly into the workforce, and a new initiative, about a year and a half old, 15 fast-track programs that lead to an industrial credential. So fast-track, 2 to maybe 20 or 24 weeks. The big wins for us have been medical assisting, putting about 45 new individuals into our local workforce in that time, and another 15 or 20 phlebotomists. Welding has been a big hit, bookkeeping has been a big hit, and most recently working with Bay Bluffs, our certified nursing assistant, so that's been very successful. Our nursing program is perhaps what we're best known for, and in 2020, we were number one in the state. There are 60 programs, 6-0, right, between the colleges and universities, and based on our NCLEX licensure exam pass rate to become an RN, we scored the highest, right? Beat Michigan, Michigan State, Central, Western, Grand Valley. We were really, really excited and proud. We did it again this year. You'll be hearing about that within the next month or so. In 2022, we launched intercollegiate athletics. That's really to build community, grow enrollment, and draw students to the college who might not otherwise choose to attend. Let me extend a personal invitation to come to a basketball game, December, January, February. They're a ton of fun. Our center is 6'10". This is the real deal. So, and then I'll mention an investment, another investment in the college to complement the good work of the child care initiative. With funding from the state, funding from the federal government, some local fundraising, we're going to invest between $15 and $20 million into the Career and Technical Education Enhancement Complex. So the three buildings on the east end of campus, Health Education Science Center, going to renovate and expand that. We're going to raise, knock down our tech building and do it right moving forward and really excited about that. And then connect both of those spaces back to our main classroom building. So we intend to get shovels in the ground next fall. So working in earnest on that design. And that, you know, is kind of the overview, but it's the community connections, the community activities, I'm going to go with connections again, really working in earnest to help Emmett County be all that it can be, and so we appreciate the efforts of you and your team. And with that, I'll come full circle. Thank you, Dave. Any questions for you guys?
Thank you very much. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Moving along, we come to the administrator's report.
Thank you. You can see on our staffing report that we give you monthly that we're on track of filling up all of our positions, so we're in good shape there. I am happy to report that the Crooked River locks is functioning again. They made the fixes to that, so hopefully we're going to start up the season right next year and won't have the breakdowns. The gates are fully open, so they're draining to the winter levels now. I did share with you some parks and recreation. I'm not going to get into your reports, but the photographs that are taken up from the headlands, they just continue to amaze us what they're able to do with that. And this is volunteers doing this work for us. This is one of the shots that they just took. And I also gave you an update on our projects list where we are. The Rope Patrol building, the HVAC units are being replaced there.
We're doing McAuliffe Point, the parking lot expansion is complete there. That job is done. We're going to be working on the additional parking lot for McAuliffe. That will start anytime now. They're going to be doing clearing and go in there in the springtime and finish that lot up. Bay Bluffs Boiler Room Project is in full swing right now. They've been completed about half the installation, and they're continuing to move forward on that. I did share in here some of the proposals that we have on, and we talked about this at the last meeting, that especially in EMS with the delay in getting this these products, that we're pushing for something that might be delivered a year and a half from now. That's my report for you tonight.
Quick question, Dave. You know anything about a bathroom being installed at the gatehouse for the lot?
That is that's on the project list of things that they're going to do. I know that Rich sent me a note about trying to, they're doing a study right now to see if they can put a bathroom in there. We did hook him up with the right person, so the conversation. They're doing a study on that. They're going to try to get the well working again, and hopefully at some point that we might have Wi-Fi at that site so we can connect it into our facility.
Good, your work.
Okay, so we come to Ms. Pam and the finance report.
All right. So currently we're at 100% of our revenues, and that mainly has to do with there's still more revenue to come in, but we have... So currently we're at 30% of expenditures and 100% of revenues. We do expect more revenues to come in, and when you take a look at the difference between 22 and 23, the difference had to do with we received about $1.3 million for airport ARPA funding. Interest income is up by probably $500,000 right now, and then also our tax revenues have increased. So that's why you see that difference there from 1 year to the
7% expenditures.
Did I? Oh, sorry. Let me start over.
No.
So it is 70% of expenditures have been spent, which normally at this time of year it would be 75. So we are doing well with that. And again, I expect that we're going to add to our fund balance for the end of this year. I am in the process right now of finishing up the final budget for 23. And that will be presented at the December 11th meeting along with the 24 budget. So then if you go on to, these pages just kind of tell you the differences in where we're at with the adds and subtracts for the different expenditures and revenues. I'm going to mainly go right here to the revenues. Again, you can kind of see all the different areas where we are doing well. The airport, you're going to see revenues up as well as expenditures. So that has to do with just sale of fuel. And then your expenditures, again, are here. We are right on track with where we're supposed to be, actually a little bit less. So, again, I feel like we're going to end the year in a positive note. And that's even with all the capital that we have out there. So the department heads have done a fantastic job with their budgets. Any questions?
I guess no questions. Thank you, Pam. Good job.
30% before the
survey. Yeah, no, sorry.
Okay, we have no unfinished business. So we'll come to claims and vouchers. Could we have a motion?
I'll make the motion. I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $7,394,636.68, and for payment of the committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $6,393.08.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner
Lofton? Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have the Child Care Initiative funding request.
As you heard this evening, the presentation by North Central, and we have proposed taking this funding, the $50,000, out of the community action money that we set aside from the ARPA funds we put into lost revenue. That was earmarked towards these types of program, community action programs. We feel this falls right in line with what the intent of this was, and you heard the proposal, and if there's any questions, we're here to help to answer those.
Okay, could we have the motion?
I'd like to make the motion. I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution to the North Central Michigan College for the Child Care Initiative Phase 2 as presented, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel and the administrator, and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner
Ginnett? Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Up next, we have Road Commission.
Yes, we have another opportunity for some ARPA funding or lost revenues, stand corrected. The Road Commission did their presentation to us a couple meetings ago, and they talked about a couple projects they have, Mitchell Road and Lakeshore Drive. Both receive funding, but they don't have enough funding to work. We sat down with the Road Commission and talked about ways to maybe potentially help them out. If we remember Camp Petasiga Road, we had them do that work. That project actually came in $71,000 under budget, so there is some funding left there. And we also, out of the 21 communities, we had three that did not take the $50,000. I will show you, or I will tell you later on, we have one of these villages is coming back and asking for some funding. So we still have $100,000 there. We thought that would be a good place if this board thought that those two projects were important. We do know Lakeshore Drive is part of the Tunnel of Trees. It's a very important route for our tourism. And Mitchell Road, we all know that. That's a very important road here in town. So with that, I have the proposal before you for $60,000 for Mitchell Road and $80,000 for Lakeshore Drive.
Thank you, Dave. Could we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve $60,000 for the Mitchell Road project and $80,000 for the Lakeshore Drive project as requested by the Emmett County Road Commission, pending a suitable agreement to be determined by civil counsel and administrator and authorize the administrator to sign the same.
Second.
Holy cow.
Pick one.
You can put everybody down there for a second on that one. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next we have Wadham.
Wadham Township came to us. If you remember, we went to all the counties, villages, and townships and had the $50,000. We set a little over $1 million aside. Well, at the time, Wadham didn't know what to do. It's pretty much a one-man operation up there. After quite a bit of conversation, they have come up with four projects, and we still have the funding available, and we thought this would get us to 19 out of 21. We think this is a good proposal. Mike Kaiser has worked with the township, and we think we have a good proposal.
Thank you. Could we have the motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Wadham Township, including $50,000 matching funds for the projects as requested in the submitted applications, and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
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 And the motion passes. Next, we have Department of Public Works.
Department of Public Works has been working with their board to look at their price and their fee structure and have recommended some changes for the 2024 budget year. We've put the numbers and their rates in the back. I do know that the DPW board did pass this. There was some discussion on some of the fees, and I think you adjusted those fees. And this is the proposal that was submitted and approved by the board. And I think two of you serve on that, if you guys have any comments, or Andy is here too, the department head.
No, there was a couple of rates that we thought were a little high, and we got those adjusted. And we did discuss several of the prices, and I believe that they're in line.
Yeah, and
most of them haven't gone up for two or three years.
And they did a rate study and compared to rates various facilities, and we are in compliant with those rates or in the same range as the other facilities. Again, this is an enterprise fund, and they need to offset the expenses in there.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, go ahead.
I move that the board approve that the attached Department of Public Works 2024 fee schedule.
We have a motion.
Support.
And support. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair. Was that for the trash or the recycling that you took the fee schedule? Because we take a lot of recycles that nobody else does.
If you look on the chart in the back, it will give you the whole structure and the breakdown of what areas that they were looking at and doing the increases.
Okay. Any other discussion questions?
Do you see that, or would you like Andy to explain a little bit more?
No, I see it. You meant the compost, the mattresses.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, sir, I'm fine.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So let's have the roll call.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes.
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz.
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski.
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler.
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell.
Yes.
Commissioner Harris.
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have a grant from the DNR.
Each year we receive a grant from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources for our snowmobile law enforcement. This funding actually goes to the sheriff's office that has a snowmobile, and they actually do patrols and education on the trail system. This year's award is $13,500, and we would recommend the board accept this money to help offset the costs of the snowmobile program.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Could we have the motion, please?
I move that the board approve the 2024 DNR Snowmobile Law Enforcement Grant Award in the amount of $13,500 and authorize the administrator to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next, we have a posting notification.
We will make a notification that we will be holding our budget hearing on the next meeting, December 11th, and this just is part of the notification.
So could we have the motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move to hold a budget hearing for the budget amendment for fiscal year 2023 and to propose fiscal year 2024 budget, and direct the county clerk to notify the public pursuant to the Open Meetings Act that the hearing will take place December 11th, 2023 at 6 p.m.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loeffler?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
And the motion passes. Up next is appointments. We have an appointment to the DHHS board. Would you like to make that motion?
No, I was just looking at it. Yeah, I'll make is there a motion?
Yes,
you've got
to make it up.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we appoint Manuel Cordova. Accept his application for a position on the Bay Bluffs DHSS board.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for Manuel Cordova to be installed on the or reinstalled on the DHSS board. Any discussion?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. So up next, we want to have a motion to go into closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move to enter into closed session pursuant to subsections 8B and 8H of the Michigan Open Meetings Act for purposes of one, discussing and consulting with county's attorney regarding two, privilege of attorney-client legal opinions and correspondence from the county civil council, and two, to consider the purchase or lease of real property.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call vote.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnam?
Yes.
Commissioner Mayne?
Yes.
And the motion passes with more than two-thirds. So we ask everybody to leave that's not included.